Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Arion Talent, technology and tools for your business. It's Arion.com. And Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service advertising, production, and consulting group here in the Des Moines Metro, InsideCube.com.
Hey, welcome back to the News Hour. Thanks for being with us on this a Thursday afternoon. With us in studio is Ron Hogan. Ron, I've been looking forward to this because I've been a fan of his for a long time. He is one of these marketers that is always out there. He's found all kinds of niche ways to get his name for Westside Auto Pros out and about, and I think it's just stellar. From billboards to television to radio, he's in the space. Welcome to the News Hour, Ron. Good to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And that voice, ladies and gentlemen, could that voice belong to anybody else but Ron?
I should see if I could either insure the voice or copyright it.
Yeah, there you go. I think you can do both. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the business, first of all. Let's find out where it started at. How did Ron come into this idea of fixing cars?
You know, when I was younger, I had my first car when I was 14 years old, and it wasn't a very good car, so it broke down often. And, of course, when you're younger and have a car, you don't have any money to fix it. And one of my classmates' dad was a mechanic. And so we'd go over to his house, and of course he wouldn't fix it, but he'd show us what to do.
Even better.
And I just got interested in it, and they say necessity's the mother of invention, and that's kind of what happened with me. That's how I got into the auto repair business. So, you know, as I grew older, I decided I wanted that to be a career, and ultimately moved to West Des Moines to go to school to learn to be an auto technician, and
Rest is history.
Yeah, this is where I'm at.
All right. You know, one of the things that you mentioned, when you were a young person, I suspect those cars that you were working on back then or being taught on how to work on, you could actually almost stand in the hood of the car and work on them, you know?
Oh, my God. It was just so much easier time. Yeah.
You want to pull spark plugs? There they are. They're right there.
You needed about $30 worth of tools, and that was it. You know, some guidance.
Now things are different.
Oh, it's way different. The technology on today's cars is, I shake my head pretty much every day at some of the stuff that we have to deal with and we have to overcome or figure out to find problems on cars. It's definitely more of a computer on wheels now than it's ever been.
Yeah, and it's getting even more so every year. I mean, with the auto technology that they have for backing up and straightening away and making sure you don't cross lines. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the self-driving car is going to be here before we know it. Yeah, the technology is already out there.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of time. Ron Hogan, ladies and gentlemen, Westside Auto Pros is our guest, talking a little bit about the auto business. You know, I've had friends of mine who are auto dealers, and they always tell me that, you know, Michael, it's not so much in the sale of the new cars where we make our money. We make our money in the back end on the repairs and fixing the cars that come to us. You think that's relatively true?
I think it's more true now than it used to be. The margins on new cars,
pretty skinny.
Yeah, they're very skinny. It's definitely a volume business. We're seeing that become multi-store and a volume business. So I'm not in the new car business. Right. I don't know for sure. I'm in the repair business, and it's not as easy to make money there either with the cost of equipment and training and stuff. I mean, that has really escalated.
Yeah. You would know our good friend from, I just lost it, Mike Swift?
Yeah, from Trails End.
Trails End.
Yeah.
You know, that guy is just tremendous.
He is definitely an asset to our industry, without a doubt.
He is. Well, and explain to folks, now, we don't want to give anybody any ideas that they ought to go see Mike first, but Mike does fill a niche, doesn't he?
He actually fills a large niche. You know, you look at... he obviously, sells used car parts, and I don't have a problem with used car parts. I mean, there's some stuff it doesn't make sense to buy used, but in the grand scheme of things, we install used engines and used transmissions all the time. Mm. You have a car, an older car, that's maybe 8, 10, 12 years old. It's not worth a $6,000 new engine, but if we can put one in for a couple thousand bucks, that's a pretty cheap car payment. Yeah. You're down the road and going. Yeah. And the key is to buy from a quality person. I'm not saying this to plug Mike, but it is true. They stand behind what they sell.
He's a quality guy.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Yeah. And it takes one to know one. Ron Hogan, ladies and gentlemen, is standing in our studio this afternoon. We're talking a little bit about the auto business and his business called Westside Auto. So how did you name it? Was because you were on the west side? Is that that's how it came to you, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You had two young guys that didn't know anything about business trying to put together a business plan. And we're like, what should we call ourselves? And, you know, it could be, you know, Ron and Paul's Auto or Ron's Auto or something like that. And we're on the west side of town. We're like, let's call ourselves West Side Auto Pros.
And, you know, one of the other interesting things about West Side Auto Pros is your location. You're not the easiest place to find sometimes.
I tell people we're the Barattas of auto repair. We're definitely, we definitely didn't put a lot of thought into location. I mean, we've always been on that street. It's a dead end street in an industrial park. We've moved once, but we only moved down two buildings to a bigger building. But the whole driving force behind locating there was cost of rent. We didn't have any money to open up or had very little money, and so we're looking for the cheapest place we could rent. And that was back in 1997, where if you were good at fixing cars, people would find you.
Right.
Obviously, things have changed. You know, time's more important to people and stuff like that. And so we've had to overcome the location, through advertising and marketing. And I feel we've been able to do that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, that's my next question, because I'm in the world of advertising and marketing. And I mentioned at the opening bell here when we were starting to have our conversation that you have really dominated in the advertising and marketing world. Why?
Well, part of it's location.
Yeah.
No one's going to drive by and see us. But you know, I took some marketing classes many years ago, and I enjoyed it. I loved it. And you know, even though I started out as a technician, I'm still a certified technician. I'm probably not real good at fixing cars. I don't know for sure because I haven't done it for a long time. But I really like marketing, and I kind of got into it, and it became a passion of mine. So I studied it, and you know as well as I do that the key with marketing is you've got to try stuff, and not everything works for everybody. So
that's
you
right.
You have to realize sometimes I'm going to spend a bunch of money on this, and it's going to be a bust. But, you know, then you move on to the next thing. And when you do find the silver bullet, you just keep doing it until it doesn't work.
And one thing that works for some people will not work for others because it's simply not the same demographic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you use a myriad of different advertising venues. I've seen you on billboards. You've used radio in the past. I know that. Makes sense. I mean, if somebody's rolling down the highway, they can listen to the radio and say, hey, you know, I got to get this thing fixed or
exactly.
In for the oil change. Yeah, it makes sense. What other forms of advertising have you used? Have you used a print or what?
Yeah, we continue to do some targeted direct mail.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the digital stuff is big.
Huge.
Now. You know, and it's everything from e-newsletters and blogs to you know, search engine optimization, your website and stuff. And then we also do some television.
And congratulations, by the way. Your website is optimized for mobile, which is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you got to stay on top of that kind of stuff, or at least work with somebody who's on top of that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And so, you know, it was explained to me many years ago, you know, someone told me to take a look at your marketing plan and look at it like it's a wooden wheel. And the more spokes you have in the wheel, the stronger it is. So each thing I do, I consider a spoke, and I need a really strong wheel.
Yeah. How long, and this is a great question, I think, because many individuals who are listening to this have this very same question. How long do you go with a marketing strategy in whatever vehicle that is before you pull the plug on it if it's not working?
I measure stuff, and let's say I do a direct mail campaign to something specific.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it three times with little to no results before I consider it a bust. And by three times, I mean three campaigns. You know, just you know as well as I do, like radio, television. That's not something you do for 30 days or 60 days. I mean, you need
to be in the space.
Yeah, exactly. It's frequency, and you need to do it for a year or so. The individual campaign, we'll try it three times before we'll pull the pin on it. But depending on the campaign, they oftentimes need to be done for several months or a year just to analyze it.
Sure. You know, I've had many people, and I do a presentation on this, Ron, and you're a great guy to be here to talk about this because you know this stuff. Many times, individuals ask me, okay, Michael, how much of my gross should I be spending on advertising? And, you know, you get the scholastic number is 1 to 2%. All right.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I would never go that low.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't either. The correct answer is it depends, because what you are selling, whether it's a product or service, you know, maybe you can get by with 2% or 3% of your gross. But if you're selling something in a space where there's lots of competition that you've got to rise above everything, it takes a little bit more, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. All I can speak for is the auto repair industry.
Right.
I was told at one time many years ago, 6 to 7% to maintain. And if you want to grow, you need to be closer to 8%. And we're around 8 to 10%.
Yeah.
And you can tell. I mean, you mentioned. You see
you're
it
there.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're growing.
And
so it's working.
So it's top of mind awareness for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's the best thing about your job, Ron?
The people.
Yeah.
On both sides. When I get up in the morning, I have two goals. I want to take the very best care of every customer that comes through the door that I can, and I want to take the very best care of everybody that works for me. And if I can do that, somewhere in the middle it's going to happen for me. I don't have to chase the dollar.
Yeah, Ron Hogan, ladies and gentlemen, Westside Auto Pros, that voice is unmistakable, and so too is his passion for his business. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good stuff. You know, I always enjoy talking to you. Not only is he a good guy, he's just fun to hang around with because he's got so many great stories. Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Ron Hogan, ladies and gentlemen, the business is called Westside Auto Pros. You want some more information about that? We'll have the links on our podcast page just for you to go click, and there will be Ron. By the way, we found out that his Twitter handle is Ask Ron the Car Guy. So
that's
me. We know now. All right. We got to scoot out of here. We've got the Wall Street Report coming up. What happened with the stocks today? Things kind of just stopped. 2 days of great growth and then some mixed economic data today. And that signaled the end to those big growth times. And investors are all eyeing, what are we going to do now? If things stop, do they raise the interest rates? We'll tell you more about that. And a whole bunch more about what happened with commodity prices today. It's coming up next on the Wall Street Report. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. What they do, they stop.